Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Art and science are often strangers to each other, but not at Unitech in Auckland, where a series of collaborations between scientists and artists is underway. One of these, the immortalisation of Billy Apple, involves the growth of an immortal cell line taken from the conceptual artist's body tissue. And as the man behind that project will explain, there's more than a conceptual point to it. Welcome, Craig Hilton.
Hi.
Now, explain the project. How does it work? What's it do?
The project itself was an attempt to create something that was both had value in the art world and in the science world. So in other words, it was kind of a true collaboration. And it's also a little bit of a pun on immortalization and that whole thing that goes along with art. And as you know about Billy Apple, I'm sure that he sort of turned his life into artwork. And I thought, well, why not immortalize him literally, but also at the same time create a useful tool for scientists, particularly immunologists and cancer researchers.
Yeah, this has a purpose, doesn't it? There's real science being done with this cell line now. Can you explain a bit more about that?
Well, the science is, it's both the science and the art is completely open, so that's the idea. So if any scientist wants to use it or any artist wants to use these cells, they can. And the more that use it and the more it's spread around, the more this immortalization and this process of fame happens. Initially, the projects involve these cells being used in a melanoma lab in Auckland University. That's headed up by Rod Dunbar, who's been very kind and open-minded regarding this project. And, also hopefully it will benefit his lab and his scientific endeavour as well.
Because I presume there are processes by which one would normally select tissue and cells to use in this sort of work, aren't there? And he's had to move away from that.
Yes, yes. And it was a tricky one for, you know, ethics committees, etc., which all these projects involving human tissue and other people's tissue and stuff have to be approved by ethics committee. It's a tricky one because it's being used as publicly, and normally the tissue is private. You don't know who is behind the tissue. But in this case, Billy Apple wants it well known that, and as do I, that he is the donor of this tissue. But this tissue will outlive him, and that's something that fascinates him and myself.
It will outlive him, I suppose, in the same way as a lot of his other works will.
Yes, exactly.
And, now, what is an immortal cell line? Is that a scientific term?
Yeah, it is a scientific term. So the process of immortalization of cells can occur in lots of ways. The original ones occurred naturally in cancers and tumours, and these cell lines were derived from tumours, and changes to those cells is what made them tumour cells. These cells were deliberately immortalized outside of Billy in a laboratory in a really controlled situation using a virus called Epstein-Barr virus, which sort of takes over the normal cell growth machinery and prevents these cells from having a limited lifespan.
I think most people know Billy Apple from the period where a lot of his work revolved around the idea of money and, to a lesser extent, fame. And he made money for himself, of course. Has he done this on a public good basis?
I think he is genuinely moved to do that in some ways. I think he also kind of is enjoying the aspects that, fit nicely into his art practice as well.
What was the appeal for you? Do you have a science background, obviously? Do you have an arts background as well?
Or? Yeah, I was trained as a scientist and I went to art school, and I've always been curious about whether or not you could have a science-art collaboration that had genuine value for both, not just some appropriation of science and pop it in a gallery, or perhaps sort of artists working with scientists and it really looks like a PR job for science, but something that might create some discourse and some discussion, because these two cultures are quite diverse.
And yet there have been efforts to bring the two together in New Zealand in the past 10 years, haven't there?
Yes, the Ministry of Research, Science, Technology got together with Creative New Zealand, and they came up with a grant package called Smash Palace that awards money to artists and scientists who are collaborating together.
So in the one that's based out of Unitech, there's obviously your project. What are the other ones that are being undertaken?
one of them is really an artist that is interested in science, and I think there's a lot of artists doing that. And I think artists really have if they are interested in science, they really have. There's a good niche there for artists to sort of comment on what they see and feel about science and technology and applied science and all that sort of stuff. There's another project between a photographer, John Pusateri, and Dan Blanchon. And what they're doing is they're using his photography skills to document stuff that's of use to these ecologists. But at the same time, he's showing this work in galleries and he sort of has a genuine interest in bugs and whatnot as a photography subject.
Will there be another round of these sorts of projects out of Unitech, or is it a one-off?
This project that I'm in is definitely ongoing there. I have a real interest in sort of trying to, and there's already a few other projects starting to brew. I'm definitely interested in creating more science and art outputs from these cells. The more it happens, the more successful the project is. So it's essentially a non-ending project.
We've talked about the differences between science and art. What commonalities have you found in doing this?
Well, I think smart people are smart people, and I think ideas are things loved in both cultures. I think they have different methods, but there's a lot of myths about both. You know, Billy's, for instance, is very analytical and very linear and very, very organised, and a lot of scientists are the opposite of that.
Science, which is ironic, really.
Yeah, it is.
Because you expect the scientists to be all logical and... You know.
Well, some are, and I think science works collaboratively like that, because there's a lot... The science process seems to involve bursts of creativity, and then you have to become quite robotic and test your ideas, and it doesn't really pay to think too much about it until you've got your data in, and then you get a chance to think about it again. And so some of the most creative people I've met are scientists.
Do you deep down have harbour a hope, you and Billy, that maybe the cell line will actually, you know, be the one that leads to a breakthrough, leads to the melanoma cure?
Absolutely. As a scientist, I submitted a number of publications to Nature. I don't know if you know Nature. It's a sort of a top impact journal, and it's rejected every time. So, you know, I have this hope that we'll get a breakthrough and we'll be able to publish it in a journal like that as a science art collaboration.
Oh, well, best of luck with it.
Thank you.
Is there anywhere people can go to find out more about the project?
The Stark White website, which I can't remember, but I'm sure if you do a search you'll find it. And there's been a few articles written, Metro and North and South, I think there was one too.
Craig Hilton, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Unitech's Craig Hilton there. After the break, Lady Six, back in town with a new album under her arm.